This week on Reality Check, we have Linda Stimson of the Brookings Harbor Farmers Market with us. We're talking about food and how we get our food here in Brookings and what are the issues facing us as well as the farmers market and how it's working. All kinds of good things. Linda, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
I'm so happy to have you here at last. It's been forever. I've been thinking about getting you on because obviously food issues are kind of important, mm-hmm. especially to a little community like ours mm-hmm. where we true. Can get cut off and you know, we're really dependent on whatever our food suppliers are. And you're doing a great job down there at the farmers market. I'm pretty sure you know everything that's going on in that world right now. So maybe you could start off by telling us a little bit about the farmers market, how it got started, and how you got interested in food at this level, and kind of a little bit about your process.
Well, my husband and I moved here in 01, and we got a piece of property that I started dabbling with a few animals, and so we got some chickens, and I had llamas.
Right.
That was my passion at the time, and anyway, I started growing some vegetables, and I thought, you know, I wonder where I can go to sell some of this stuff. I had too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a little market that was actually on the outside in the grounds of the Grange Hall in Harbour. And there were four of us at the time, just selling a few bits of, you know, vegetables and
right.
fruit
your
and
surplus.
Things like that. Yeah. And anyway, then it became kind of like I got the bug. to meet all these wonderful people that were coming and buying food from me that was, you know, so then it was, I need to grow more stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so, but anyway, it did evolve from there, and I started off with tomatoes, and I was growing tomato plants, and people were needing to have them earlier than when we were first opening the market. So I asked if we could have the hall for the winter. And then we just gradually opened it more and more, and more vendors came. And pretty soon it was in a situation where it wasn't big enough for us. We had 20 or 25 vendors in that little hall, and there was hardly room for customers.
I remember.
Yeah.
That was really tight.
Yeah. So anyway, I managed to get an offer from the York family, who have the hydrangea farm down here in Harbour,
mm-hmm.
and he offered us the church, and I looked at it, and I go, oh, I don't know, it's all chopped up little rooms, and I didn't think that, and he said,
right.
oh, no, not the building, I'm going to put you up a marquee tent for the market. So he put up the tent, and it was, I believe it was 80 by 40, and we fit in there nicely, and it was going along pretty good for about 6 months, and then it became pretty clear it wasn't big enough.
Right.
So
here we go again.
So we added on another 40 by 40 section of it. And so now that's what we have, is this L-shaped tent. And we've been there now for 3.5 years. And it's getting a little bit worn out. So he approached me and said, I'm going to build you a building.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, so he's going to build a building. And the plans have been approved. And we've got everything set to go. And it's hopefully it'll be done by spring. It's going to be a little bit bigger than the tent, and it'll be a lot nicer.
Well, the way you have it now, you have a shopping in the winter time. You keep mm-hmm. the same hours in the winter as
yes,
you do now.
Yes.
That's Wednesday
yeah.
and Saturday.
Yeah.
From
10 till 3.
10 till 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And while all this construction's going on, is the tent going to have to move? What's mm-hmm. going to happen?
Well,
with
what's going to happen is the building will be in a different spot.
Oh, good.
So he's already got the lot leveled, and he's going to build it a little bit away from where the tent is. And when the tent comes down and the building is up, where the tent is now will become more parking.
Which will be good.
Yeah.
Because you're just about out of parking,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So it's right there. It's just going to be behind the tent,
mm-hmm,
basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool. That's
yeah.
great.
And we actually just now got our kitchen approved. He's been working on that for several months. The kitchen in the church is now a commercial kitchen. We have it approved. We've got all the bells and whistles in it that they told us we had to have. And so we can have people use the kitchen. which
so you're going to be having hot meals and things like that
at the moment we have a barbecue guy and we have somebody else that makes pastrami sandwiches and stuff like that. They're inside the tent and they work on their own. It's like a temporary restaurant license that they have. Mm-hmm. So every 3 months they have to renew their license, and they prepare food and serve food at the tent location. But in the new kitchen, it's approved as a 15-seat restaurant. So the gal that's going to be in there is going to be making Mexican food, burritos and what have you, on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So that's going to start, actually, the first day will be November 2nd.
Well, that's exciting, too.
Yes.
I mean, so you got that, and then the people that you have had also are going to offer the barbecue, and what was the other thing?
They make pastrami sandwiches.
Oh, pastrami.
It's Wilson's Smoke Pit, and mm-hmm. he's well-known all over town, and he comes in and makes sandwiches and great lunches, and so we have that. And then a lot of people have been waiting for the tamale girls to come back.
Yes.
So they will be in the kitchen also. They'll be making their stuff in the kitchen under their license there and then selling it. Usually people come and buy like 12 at a time and take them home.
You just put them in your freezer and steam them up when you're ready to have them. They're great. Just such a wonderful comfort food and mm-hmm. so easy.
Yeah. So that's coming really, really soon. I mean, that, like I say, the November 2nd, the Mexican food will be open, and they made us jump through hoops, though, I have to tell you.
Oh, I bet.
We had to put in this huge hood mm-hmm. that so it got fire suppression, and thousands of dollars he spent on that kitchen.
That's great. You got such a wonderful patron.
Yes.
Yeah. Always good to have a good relationship with your landlord, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Oh yeah, he's been phenomenal. Yeah.
So we're kind of on the subject of products and things that are being offered through the farmers market. Can you say a little more about that? Like, I know you're offering all kinds of meat now, and mm-hmm. where does that mm-hmm. come from, and how local are things?
Everything's local. We have. I'll kind of, in my mind, I'll go around the tent. I've got a guy that sells canned tuna. The tuna is caught locally off of our shores, mm-hmm. and it's canned in Coos Bay. So it couldn't be any more local.
Right.
The stuff you buy in the store is actually a consistency, I think, of cat food. And it's canned oftentimes in places like Vietnam. So mm-hmm. if you read your labels when you buy
Thailand
stuff.
Thailand is a big one for that.
Yeah.
And I lived in Thailand for a while, and I can tell you that's a little scary.
Yeah. Well, this is, like I say, it's caught locally, and it's a really good product. He sells a lot of that goes in the mail if people send it for gifts. It's a great product because it doesn't go off.
Right.
And it's
good
just
survival food.
Yeah, yes, very, very much so. And then, let's see, and then I have a lady that sells duck eggs.
Mm-hmm. Love duck eggs.
Yeah, she does a really good job on that.
I tell, I'm going to be really hungry by the end of the show.
And then myself, I have, I raise sheep, so I have mm-hmm. lamb. I'm just on the top of Whale's Head, so you can't get too much more local than that.
Right.
And then I have, I raise my own chickens and turkeys and ducks. So we have grass-fed, free-ranging birds as mm-hmm. well. I just got
got turkey for the holidays.
Yes, we do. Yeah, I have about, we raised 36, and I think I have about half of them sold already.
Okay, so get your order in soon if you want one.
Yeah, and that's it's all organic. No,
I should say before we forget that you are best found on Facebook.
Yes.
As a Brooking Harbor Farmers Market page.
Yes.
And they can get a hold of you and do things like order turkeys through there.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And my phone number's on that too.
Great.
I just got loaded up my freezers with local pork. Now, I think it's still considered local. It's from Rogue River.
Mm-hmm.
They pasture their pork. It's the pigs all wallow in the mud, and they have the greatest time. In fact, he was telling me today that they feed them eggs, and to get them in the trailer when they had to take them to the to the butcher. They put a whole bunch of eggs in the trailer, and the pigs just got right in after the eggs.
Right.
But anyway, so he loaded up with that, and it's the best pork. I mean, you can tell the difference.
So these items aren't certified organic, I suppose, because that's a very expensive process.
It is. It's very expensive. Yeah. I think a couple of $1,000 a year. And small people, you just can't afford it. I mean, in fact, when you take into account the processing fees, the cost of feed, the transportation up the our nearest butchering facility is up in Roseburg or Springfield. I think they're both about the same time difference to get
right.
to. And it's expensive. I think this year they all put their prices up again. You know, it makes it hard to make any money doing it. But
yeah, but it's so good to have that kind of mm-hmm. quality meat available.
Well, it is.
If you're a meat eater, it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, definitely.
In fact, the whole idea of getting your food locally is so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, both nutritionally, mm-hmm. I'm sure you can speak to that, but also for people know that listen to me, climate change is always on my mind,
mm-hmm.
and not having to truck our produce and our food from God knows where mm-hmm. is wonderful. It's one of the big factors to consider mm-hmm. if you're thinking about what you can do about the climate crisis. So you want to speak to the nutritional side of it?
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, just for an example, I mean, I'm reading and researching all the time, and something occurred to me recently about iodine. How do we get iodine? Because you need a trace amount of iodine.
Mm-hmm.
They used to put, it used to come in milk because they used to wash the udders of the cows with iodine.
Uh-huh.
So you'd get a trace of iodine in your milk.
Uh-huh.
Well, they don't do that really
iodine
anymore.
Salt.
Yeah, that's true. But,
which is horrible.
But
anyway.
But what I was going to say was vegetables and fruit that are grown by the coast have more trace amounts of iodine because
that's really interesting.
Yeah, because you're near the ocean.
So in the sea salt comes the iodine?
No, I think it's something to do with the fish, because you do get iodine in fish.
Oh, okay.
But and that was another thing, because I raise chickens for eggs, and I thought for sure you'd have iodine in eggs, right? But actually, unless you're feeding them the fish waste, which mm-hmm. is actually more of a fertilizer,
right?
Then they don't have the iodine because they don't get the fish byproducts.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really want to feed my chickens fish byproducts.
Yeah. So. Right.
So, but the fruits and vegetables that are grown on the coast do have traces of iodine. I read recently.
And the whole thing of just storing fruit and things like that, and then traveling, you know, from Mexico or farther away than that to get here.
Right.
And they pick them so green, and they don't ripen properly, and
yes.
there's just so many things about it that don't work.
Tomatoes are a prime example, because they pick them green, they gas them, and then when you finally get them, they don't taste of anything.
None of that stuff that you get from commercial markets, who shall be nameless, but we all know who we're talking about. It's just tasteless.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah. And it doesn't even help to buy organic.
No,
because it's all... No. First of all, I think it's the lowest grade organic.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, organic just means they haven't used, you know, any of the fertilizers,
right.
and they haven't used any of the pesticides on it, but still.
But it's traveled so far.
Yeah.
And
fresh is always better. And also to eat in season is a good key, because a lot of it, maybe you might think, oh, I'm going to do a Christmas dinner and I think I'll have raspberries for dessert. Well, you can't get raspberries here in the winter.
Mm-mm.
So they're going to be coming from another country. So, you know, but you can get, you know, apples. I think a lot of people had a bumper crop of apples and fruit in this area, because I always find if there's a good season for fruit, everybody has it.
Yes.
You know, so you just eat local and mm-hmm. eat in season, and you should be able to avoid a lot of the problems that people have.
Yeah. It's Yeah, much better food to begin with. Mm-hmm. There's also groups, I believe, that work through the farmers market, or maybe this is separate, where you subscribe and you can get, you know, a box of vegetables.
Yeah, there isn't anybody really doing that now.
Really?
Yeah, Kathleen Dixon used to have one for Otterbys mm-hmm. Farm, and she just does a local, like a shop thing now online. But there really isn't anybody. I think Ocean Air used to do a food box as well, but they don't do that. They do a, you know, if you pay a certain amount up front at the beginning of the season, you get a percentage off all year of whatever you buy. So that helps the farmer have a little bit of money to get started for the season.
To get through the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
kind of, CSA used to be you'd pay up front mm-hmm. for what you're going to get for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way of collecting money in advance.
Yeah.
But I don't know anybody really in that area that's doing that right now.
What are some of the other trends that are going on in your world these days?
Well, like I was thinking about this morning, there's a lot more people that are cooking for themselves. Mm-hmm. They're experimenting with different recipes, sharing recipes. I see a lot of that going on, which is much better than just opening a packet and, you know, just throwing some macaroni and cheese in a saucepan. You know, make it for yourself. It's fairly easy to make. You don't have to buy a packet, because if you read the labels, there's all this extra
stuff yeah.
that's in it, and the dyes, and the, you know, and I wonder if that's causing a lot of people's allergies. Who knows? I mean, I think there's more people walking about with allergies now than ever before.
Well, I'm definitely of the school of thought that, you know, the most impactful drug we have, that of all the pills we take and everything else, is the food we eat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really going to dictate how you feel, how you live, mm-hmm. what your health is going to be like. It's so important. Mm-hmm. And we take it for granted so much. We're not raised in a culture that has that awareness built in. You know, you sort of have to live on the planet for a while before you figure that one out.
In Europe, people would shop for that day.
Right.
Go with their basket to the market, and, oh, I'm going to have this fresh spinach, and I'm going to have, you know, chicken or whatever they're going to, and it's fresh, mm-hmm. you know. That's how they do it in Europe. And here you
such
have,
a good idea.
Yeah, but here you have the constraints of working. Maybe both mother and father have to work. The convenience food is so easy, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, with a little pre-thinking, you know, you can set up things ahead of time, maybe make meals ahead of time.
There's so many things going that direction in the culture right now. I see a lot of these online subscription programs where they'll send you a box of food where you do just open it and throw it in a pan, but you have the illusion that you're cooking it for yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's going in the direction of relatively healthy food. Like mm-hmm. you can
oh, yeah.
order
mm-hmm.
keto diet and vegan diet and all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. But the convenience is the key that makes these things so attractive to people. Mm-hmm. And we're always kind of in that trade-off between, you know, what's healthy and what's convenient. If you can find a way to combine both, which if you can come to the farmer's market and, mm-hmm. you know, shop for 3 days at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really a step in the right direction. Yeah. The thing I wanted to ask you, because I love to ask the dumb questions, things I'm not really sure about float around and you hear them.
They say there's no such thing as a dumb question.
Well, I work at it, so we'll see. But how do you define slow food?
Slow food, I guess I would say that, like, I raise my lambs, and I would say that's slow, because they're 9 or 10 months old when they go. To mm-hmm. be butchered. So, and then after that they stop, you know, it's tougher. You want the young lambs.
Right.
I think slow food is just more like, I think of it as people cooking, as opposed to
the convenience
it in the,
food we were
in the,
talking about.
In the microwave. Two yeah. minutes in the microwave and sit down to eat TV dinners. That's quick food.
Yes.
As opposed to the slow cooking.
And, yeah.
And I think what goes away also with cooking is the joining of your family together and including your family in cooking your meal and sharing a meal. I'd like to see people bring that back. Mm-hmm. Instead of having children in one room on their computer eating and another playing a video game yeah. and eating. I'd love to see
You see
that.
People sitting down to eat together, but everybody's on their cell phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But it is seems to be the way of the world. And yet what I see also is a kind of a counter trend. Even McDonald's and places like that are trying to have like healthier meals, mm-hmm. unquote, right?
Yeah.
Because there is a demand for that, to mm-hmm. find ways of being able to eat in a more healthy fashion and still be convenient enough. And especially, you know, if you look at the fine restaurants, they all feature that, oh, we use, you know, fine organic local ingredients. One chef said to me once, if you really want to cook well, it all depends on what you're cooking with.
Sure, of course. And it's also, if you're eating meat, you want to know that the animals have eaten well, too.
Exactly.
Because the cows will eat the grass, and that's a protein that cows can process. You can't eat grass,
right?
But you can eat the meat that has been processed by the cow that's eaten the grass. So I feel like it was all meant to be. Like I was thinking the other day about milk, because I'm actually selling Alexandria Dairy milk
at
my booth, and I sell a lot of it. It's the most delicious milk. 6% cream instead of the 4% of the red tops in the store.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, you know, cows usually only have one baby.
Mm-hmm.
If they have two, it's usually tough on the mother.
Yeah.
But they have four big udders.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you think that they were designed to have milk for people to drink as well as their baby? Because, you know, other animals, like my sheep have two, and they usually have twins. You know, mm-hmm. so it's just the way that if you look at an animal, what it was used, what's its purpose? You
right,
know?
Right. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't even considered that one. So there's a lot of kerfuffle, I think, for people between, you know, organic, grass-fed, free-range, all these different mm-hmm. terms. Can you take a stab at explaining that for anybody who's not really sure why one thing is better than another?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about eggs, for example. They say cage-free.
Mm-hmm.
Cage-free is, yeah, they're not in a cage, but they're in a big barn.
Mm.
Lots of chickens. They have certain areas in the barn where they go and they lay their eggs. They might be set up with some kind of conveyor system where the eggs are taken immediately. Because there's a lot. I mean, the barns are full of chickens.
Right.
Yeah, they're cage-free. But is that necessarily a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have pasture-raised. Pasture-raised chickens, they are on pasture. They're out all the time. And they go in and they lay their eggs. And that's what they do. They have others where they have an in-between, so you're in a barn, but they have access to a little strip of ground if they go outside. They can go outside, but they usually don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a matter of, you look at it, organic could be they were just fed organic feed, but they're in a cage.
They could still be in the cage, right?
You could have free range. That was that one with a little bit, I think, where they can get out, but they don't necessarily go out.
So free range is not. We're just wandering through the countryside here, chickens.
No, it doesn't kind of work like that. And then you've got vegetarian fed, which drives me insane because chickens love to eat bugs. Well, they can't be
mm-hmm.
not. You know, that's. Vegetarian fed is not going to be chickens that are eating bugs, right? They're eating
right.
corn and, you know, whatever else they put in the feed. So it's all different terminology.
Corn soybeans is not necessarily the best thing for a chicken, but it's cheap.
Well, yeah, there was some question about that. I've seen a lot of places where they say soy-free. And I thought, well, that sounds good because I don't want to eat soy in my diet. Soy to me is a bad news. But the chickens eat soy. They eat soy and they eat corn. And I'm raising my meat chickens, and I thought, well, I'd rather raise them without soy. But actually, soy is one of the things that has all the amino acids that the chickens need to thrive. Oh. And if they don't have soy, and they love soy and they love corn, and so they...
Well, that helps them if they're not getting enough bugs.
Yes. Right. Yes. But the amino acids that are in it, I was told that if you don't feed them a corn and soy ration, they don't produce their feathers very well, they don't grow very well, they don't lay very many eggs. And
okay,
so
well,
it's a compromise.
Yeah.
You know? So I feed mine, they do have an organic ration, but it does have soy and it has corn in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's organic, so it's not GMO.
Right.
So
hold your thought. I have to say a little thing here. You are listening to KCIWLP, Curry Coast Community Radio, 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings, Oregon. So there's all this labeling of things that are a little bit obscure. I mean, I didn't know that free range meant that, you know, if they want to, they can get out this little door for 5 minutes, or, you know. It's a lot to take in. It's very interesting. Do you have anything on your mind you want to pick up with from there?
Okay, so let's go back to the farmer's market, what we can buy there.
Okay.
So I talked about the fish, and I talked about my products, and I mentioned just a little bit ago that I'm selling Alexandre products, which is amazing. And I also go down and I buy stuff from Rumiano Cheese Company in Crescent City and resell that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have butter and... You know, and most of their products are organic, some aren't, but they're all grass-fed cows. And like you, I think maybe you were thinking of grass-fed versus organic and versus...
Yes.
Grass-fed to me means that the cows are actually raised how they were supposed to be raised, eating grass.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, your grain-fed cows are going to be on a feedlot. And they're going to be given all kinds of stuff to eat, which I don't like that idea. I don't give my sheep grain because I don't believe they were designed to eat grain.
Mm-hmm.
Some people feed them grain to get them beefed up, you know, put on weight.
Right.
So they're going to have lots of fat and lots of marbling. And I think that's more of a slow food that I'm doing because I'm doing grass as opposed to grain, which is a faster...
Right.
Thing.
Get some fatter, get some fatter and faster.
Right.
Both.
Right.
And so, as we've been finding out, maybe the fatter meat isn't the best for us, and that's always a controversy these days.
I don't know. I think animal fat is okay. I just don't think it's worth fattening up.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking about is if you think about the natural animal before we started cultivating them mm-hmm. and domesticating them for all these many years, they were probably a much leaner animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, it's the same with the chickens. I mean, chickens used to not be the big chickens. I mean, I know my chickens get pretty big, but it used to be... It was a whole different world, I mean, before mm-hmm. they came up with different ways of farming.
And that is one of the things that people tend to think about these days is, you know, what was the natural world and are we more designed to eat that way than how mm-hmm. we've managed mm-hmm. to eat these many years?
Well, it's like they came up with a food pyramid, what was it, back in the 60s?
70s, I think, yeah.
And they said you should eat more grain and less meat. And that's when people started, putting on weight.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now they've changed their mind. Maybe that isn't the way to go.
Well, yeah, the evidence seems to be tipping in the other direction mm-hmm. these days pretty mm-hmm. strongly. I mean, there's still plenty of people that will give you an argument about it, but I know for myself, eating in a more less grain, I mean, you kind of think about, what about agriculture? I mean, that's like, what, 2,500 years old when it really started taking off. No, more like 5,000 years old. I think that's more accurate anyway. And it was a way to feed a lot of people without spending a lot of money on the food. I mean, you can feed a lot of people on grain. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily mean that's what we were designed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we probably ate a lot more vegetables than we do today. But that doesn't necessarily mean we ate a lot of grain. Because it was wild grain until that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for me, my personal body doesn't like to eat grain, period, the end. I get all fat and bloated up the more of that I let in my world, so I just try to keep away from it. But
anyway. And there's also, you don't know what they're doing to it. I mean, you just don't know.
And all the hybriding.
Yeah, because they're trying to feed more people on the same amount of land, and they're coming up with ways of producing more
right.
efficiently.
And but fake meat, that's
yeah,
coming.
Yeah. Is I've seen a lot of that lately. They've got, isn't it Burger King that's got a completely vegetable burger that they're promoting?
There's a lot of different ways it's coming out now. I keep seeing things in the news about it. You know, they started out with the pink meat, but now they're doing a lot of vegetable product meat because there's that demand for meat.
Yeah, but I think if they put a lot of soy and stuff, I wonder if that's one of the problems that we have, because if you look at the ingredients on a lot of things, it's going to have soy in it, and I don't think you were supposed to have that much soy in your diet.
That much soy, that much cane sugar, cane syrup, which is sugar, things like that. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. That was the other thing I wanted to ask you about, is the whole GMO thing. I think that keeps people pretty confused as well, if you wanted to say a few things about that.
Well, they really need to label things, and they just have not done that. I don't know if you can realize I'm from England.
Yeah.
and in England, they make them label that stuff. I don't know. I don't know why they can't tell people what you're getting, and then you have to wonder if they label it, if people will really take into account what the labels are saying.
GMO meaning genetically modified. And so, I mean, that's one of the things where we've been hearing for a long time, don't drink milk because it's not that good for you. But the milk that many of the cows we have in America is a certain type that's been genetically modified, and it has a protein that's different.
Oh, that's from, you're talking about the A2.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what Alexandra's milk is. It's from cows that only produce the A2 protein. The A1 protein that's in majority of the herds in the country have a mutant protein.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's maybe why people have been having so much trouble with milk. And the products that come with it, you know. So there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, a lot of my customers that have been drinking it have been coming back and saying, oh, it's great. I can drink milk again.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. It's really quite amazing. I don't want to let the time get away with us before we talk about the other kinds of products that you have here. Obviously, fruits and vegetables, whatever seasonal, it's all local.
Right, right.
But there's a lot of other good things that you have there at the
market.
Well,
let's talk a little bit about the produce vendors. I've got one in particular, that's Sylvia's Farm, that is on the property behind the church, behind where we are. So her stuff is like really local. She grows the most delicious strawberries. We're still getting strawberries out of the field. And I recently did a trip out there, and I took my video camera and videotaped some of the stuff that he was growing, potatoes and all the greens, squashes, pumpkins. He even grew corn this year, which is pretty amazing because we don't really get the heat that you need.
Yeah, exactly.
So, they do a really good job. And Sylvia's husband grows all of that himself. And I took a video of that, which is, I think you can find it on the farmer's market webpage. And then I have Ocean Air Farms. They're in Fort Dick.
Mm-hmm.
and they do a fantastic job. They are certified organic. They only come on Wednesdays though, because he doesn't have enough staff. He's just, it's just a little family run business, and they just can't do both days, especially during the summer when they have two markets and a farm stand to do.
Right.
But they do come out on a Wednesday. And then the other major farmer that I have, unfortunately, is finished for the season. But they grow out in, it's near O'Brien on the other side of Kirby, mm-hmm. on the other side of the mountain there. And they, in fact, they have the sign that says Cron.
Yes.
She always gets a kick out of telling people about that story. But they, once they have a frost, they're done for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some great stuff from them this year.
We do have that mild climate where we can grow some things in the mm-hmm. wintertime. That's so mm-hmm. wonderful yeah. for us to yeah. be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my landlord that I was telling you about, the tent that we have,
mm-hmm.
he grows his cattle on that property behind us too. And so they sell their beef at mm-hmm. my market. Let me think, what else do I have in the way of food? I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, I've got a local gal that does honey. She's up the river, up the Chetco River.
And there's baked goods.
Oh, yeah, I have baked goods, and I have hot food, like we were saying earlier. And then some other things like plants and some artists, and I have some jewelry. I've got one gal that just started. She purchased a business from another gal that she makes silver clay jewelry. It's absolutely
silver
beautiful.
Silver clay jewelry.
Mm. It's I don't exactly know how they do it, but they form different patterns on the clay, and then when it's fired, the clay goes away, and you're left with the silver.
Ah.
So it was a very successful business, but the lady that owned it, she decided that they wanted to travel, and she sold her business, and I just got the gal that purchased that back at the market. And we have another gal that's pretty amazing. She has figured a way of taking the cones from the pine cone called the knob tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's a knob tree pine thing, and that tree is local to us. It's a native tree. I'd never known about it before.
Me neither.
But it only grows here, and it grows up a little bit up in the higher elevations mm-hmm. here. And it's the pine cones on it only open if it goes through a fire, and so it opens and drops the seeds in areas where it's burnt. It's pretty amazing, and she can cut the cones and expose all the beautiful designs inside the cones, and she makes earrings and necklaces out of that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of artists in
there. I've seen some beautiful things there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I have a couple of vendors that sell ladies' clothing,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of nice to have another place other than Fred Meyer to buy clothing.
Yes.
This town.
A little bit different from the Fred Meyer selections, mm-hmm. too, I have to say. So I'm going to say again that you're listening to KCIWLP, Curry Coast Community Radio, 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. Now, earlier, before we went on the air, you were telling me about how there were these local websites or maybe Facebook pages,
mm-hmm.
where people are sharing recipes, getting mm-hmm. back to cooking again for mm-hmm. their family and friends.
Yeah.
You want to share those? That would be really fun for people to have a place to look up, see what other people are doing.
Yeah, one is, it's a new one that's called Loving Cooking Loving Cooking. And their first day that they were, they launched it, I think they got like 80 or 100 people that signed up for it.
Wow.
Which was pretty amazing. And then the other one is Curry Foodies, I think it's called. And
Curry Foodies?
Foodies, yeah.
Okay.
And people are posting their dinner, you know, after they've cooked it all, and then they take a picture and share it with everybody. I wish I had time to do more of that. I seem to not have.
You and everybody else, yeah. I know. And of course, now with the internet, there's so many resources when it comes to looking up recipes and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
And technology has come a long way, too. Have you seen the smart pots? These are great tools. So, I mean, you can do something that would normally take you hours to do, or even an hour, and get them done in, you know, chicken breast in 10 minutes.
Yeah, so it's like slow food fast.
Slow food fast. It's finding that bridge between the convenience and the quality of the food. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I imagine that you have a lot of folks in your network that are really working on some of these ideas of getting back to a more natural way of eating, a healthier way of eating.
I see that. I see that a lot. And it's been a journey, and I think we were talking about how people are moving in here from other areas.
Oh yeah,
I hear people come in all the time and say we're either in escrow with a house that they're buying, or they're looking for a place, or they're, you know, in an RV waiting for the perfect house to come on the market. People are just moving in here left and right. It's quite amazing, and they're bringing their, I think, their farmer's market habit with them. So we do meet a lot of people.
Yeah, you may not know, but I have a real estate practice, and I couldn't agree with you more, especially climate refugees, people coming from the whole Sacramento area, the whole Central Valley area of California, the foothills down there. You'd think they'd all be coming from L.A. or San Francisco, you know, the big population centers, but they're coming from that eastern spine of California where it's just so bloody hot, and they can't take it. And anyway, and they're bringing their lifestyle with them. And I think that's one of the things we're going to be facing here in the next few years is, you know, how are we going to manage having so many more people here? We don't have the housing inventory to accommodate that. We have limitations on our water and so forth.
Yeah, it's all things to consider.
Yeah. So I imagine that's probably going to be impacting the farmers market, but in a good way, because people are asking for products and things that maybe wouldn't have been sustainable before.
I'm just hoping that the general population of Brookings will recognize that they can support our local endeavors here to provide them with good food choices. And a good environment. It's a great environment. People come into the market, and it's not like going to Fred Meyer, where you go through to a cashier and that you're usually impatient because they're chit-chatting with somebody in front of you. Or but when they come to the farmers market, it's a friendly place. It's a place where you can share ideas, and a place where you can find out what's going on in town. And
yeah, the vendors love talking about what they're doing. And it's kind of an education, really, to shop there.
Yeah,
I've learned so much from the folks that are offering products there and so forth. You know, very generous with their time and their energy. That's kind of what it's about. Yeah.
We're hoping maybe next year to be open an extra day.
Oh, really? Do you know what day that's going to be?
Well,
I'm thinking
about a Thursday afternoon evening. Because there's a lot of people that say they just can't come because they work, you know, or during the week. If they work Monday through Saturday, they can't come any day.
That's right.
So I was thinking a Thursday afternoon, evening, you know, maybe.
So start later but go on into the night.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Like it would certainly work in my world.
Yeah, like 2 till 6 or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
But it would have to be a Thursday because we prepare on Friday for Saturday, and we prepare Tuesday for Wednesday. Sunday isn't a good retail day, and neither is Friday. So the only day left to me is Thursdays.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck to you with that. And over the years to come here, I think you're going to have a lot of more vendors. You may need yet another building before you're done. It does seem like we live in a place where people want to get back to a simpler time, a simpler lifestyle in any case. Have their own, maybe grow their own food to some degree. And certainly shop locally.
Well, I'm hoping that maybe we'll be able to, as time goes on, we've got our kitchen now, we could maybe do some demonstrations, or we could do some little classes on how to do things, like how to prepare food, or how to, maybe, like you say, grow a few herbs for themselves. Things all to do with food.
Do you have plant starts in the springtime?
Yes.
Yeah, that's so so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of things, and I get people that pop in and out, you know, that they'll just come for a few times, people that are here on vacation. You know, I got a lot of people that are somewhere else in the winter and come to us for the summer, and they'll say, you know, have you got room for me? I want to sell some of my jewelry, or I'm making these wind chimes or whatever, you know, and they'll mm-hmm. come in, pop in for a little while. So it's never the same market twice. There's always extra little things to find.
Always changing and evolving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But tell me something about raising all the animals that you do. You've just always been an animal lover?
I guess always been an animal lover, but if you can believe, I used to be in real estate when I was in Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
I was a broker.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally got the last child out of the house, I want to quit and let's go to Oregon. So we found our little place up in Brookings, and here we are. 01, we moved in to a house on Cape Farella.
So you don't have the pigs. The pigs are coming from Rogue River.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But you have chickens,
mm-hmm.
cows.
No cows.
Chickens and lamb.
Yes.
And then you have the ducks and the turkeys.
Yes.
Tell us about the ducks and the turkeys. See, more of my dumb questions. The ducks, I thought, were always migratory. Do you, like, you know, give them a ball and chain, or how?
No. The ducks that I raise for me are bred for the table. They're Pekin ducks, and they get very big, very fast.
Oh.
And they, I had learned a lot this year, because I was told 7 weeks, that's when you process them. That was what I thought. So 7 weeks came around, and we went to process them. They'd already grown their adult feathers. It was a nightmare.
Mm.
So that was, I'm never going to do ducks again, never going to do it. It was such a nightmare with their feathers. Well, then I discovered that actually I had waited about a week too long, and that it was just about 6 weeks was mm-hmm. the time. And the next batch that we did, I had the wax ready. I don't know if you've heard about duck wax, but you have to wax them. You know, it's wax like when you wax your legs.
Yes.
Kind of wax.
Oh, except so you wax them to defeather them.
Yes.
Oh.
So that was an interesting experience. But anyway, everybody just loved the ducks. They were very popular. And actually, I ended up ordering 15 more ducklings the other day, because people have been wanting them for Christmas.
And also, you do eggs. I mean, you do duck mm-hmm. eggs as well as
no,
chicken
I don't
eggs.
Do the duck eggs.
Oh,
no, well, no.
But
I just
you have
raise.
Them at the market.
But that's the Golden Egg Ranch does that. She only has ducks. Mm-hmm. Only have girl ducks, and the girl ducks lay eggs, and that's what she does.
Okay, and then you have the lamb.
Mm-hmm. And the chickens that we do for meat, and the turkeys that we do for meat. And the turkeys were probably my favorite to do, because they're very animated, and they follow you around, and they like to go with the sheep, and they jump up on the stumps, and they just are just really delightful.
Yeah, oh, they keep you entertained.
Yes. Yeah. I took several videos of them. But turkeys are only seasonal. The hatcheries, I can only get them from February until July, actually. So I thought, okay, I'll raise the turkeys, and I'm going to give everybody fresh turkey for Thanksgiving. But mm-hmm. we got them the end of July, and they grew and they grew and they grew, and they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm like, I cannot wait until November to process them, because they'll be 40 pounds.
Right.
Who the heck's going to want to buy 40-pound turkeys? So
I remember my grandmother, who's about 5 feet tall, coming into the house with a turkey in each hand. They were both 30-pound turkeys. She was amazing. But anyway, it's a whole other story about Thanksgiving when I was a kid. Forget about it. So these turkeys are you got them handled earlier.
Yes.
So they're frozen now.
Yes.
Okay.
But you can't buy turkey babies after the end of July, so I don't know how I can ever do fresh turkey.
Yeah, I guess they just don't cultivate the eggs to be
Well, these turkeys, they're so big, they have to artificially inseminate them. And I don't know how the heck they do. I don't want to think about that. But they, because they're too big to breed naturally. By the time they get so big, by the time they're mature enough to breed, they're just too big.
Wow.
And it's pretty amazing. We ended up with quite a few 17, 18, 19 pounders.
That's a big turkey nowadays,
yes,
huh?
It is.
That's funny.
Processing them was interesting, too.
Well, tell me about the lifespan of the lamb that you have. I mean, you just raise them until they're juveniles, until they're about to hit adulthood, and that's when they go to processing. Mm-hmm. So there's not... you don't have to shear them, you don't have to do that kind of thing?
No, I just shear my ewes. And I have right now, I have, I think it's about 38 ewes.
38? You've got quite the farm
I know,
there.
I know.
So those are not there to make the babies.
Yeah, and one big ram, and he takes care of all the girls. And
takes care of the girls.
We actually, one of the girls somehow or another got bred, and we just had a set of triplets born a couple of weeks ago. But normally they don't come until February, March time. So so we'll have lots. We'll have probably about 60. I usually end up with 60 or so lambs that we send to be processed. And I usually run out right about the time I'm ready to send another batch up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What about nut meats? Do you get much of that as products at the market? Walnuts, almonds, those kind of things.
There is a local vendor that did bring us some walnuts last year, but they sell a lot online, and I'm not sure if they're going to be here this year. She said she might, and they're ones that are pre-cracked, so they're pretty nice.
Yeah, I was just wondering because the price of those things has gone through the roof lately at the regular stores. They're just...
Yeah, almonds are grown in the Central Valley, though. So I don't think we would ever have
they're
almonds
not
as
local
a local.
Enough.
No.
But the walnuts, too, have gotten very expensive, and they grow up here, don't they?
I don't know where anybody's got a grove of walnut trees. I'm not sure. They would grow here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that that's something that somebody's doing in this area.
Yeah,
I don't know where the ones came from the gal that was there last year. I don't remember. But
so, do you also do vegetables for sale or
me?
Yeah, you personally anymore?
No, I used to, but it's so hard to grow vegetables.
Well, it seems like you have your hands pretty full with 38 ewes and I don't know what all else.
Vegetables is like a war zone. I mean, you have to have control of the gophers. You have all the white moths that lay eggs and end up in caterpillars eating everything. You've got the blackbirds will come, not the blackbirds, the robins will come and dig everything up. It's just really difficult to garden. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a climate that it's really a mild climate, so we have that wonderful winter growth season.
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, doing things that require a lot of sunshine in the summer and a long growing season is kind of tough.
What I've discovered lately is that where my property is, it used to be a trees would grow. So I have very acidic soil. So you need to have a lot of amendments. You need to do a lot to make the soil really work for you.
Yes.
Whereas where Sylvia's farm is, I was so amazed when I went and took that video, mm-hmm. how black the dirt is down there.
That's the one that's so close to the market?
Yes, and that dirt is phenomenal. And it's on the harbor bench, which mm-hmm. is, everybody says how great that dirt is, and it really is. It's soft, it's dark, it's rich. Mm-hmm. My stuff at my place is...
Yeah, get up on the mountains like most of us. Yeah. It's pretty acidic. It's all just forest land.
Yeah. So I think that's the key. If you have the land and you have the right land, you can grow pretty good. Otherwise, you're fighting all the whole time. You're fighting the pH. You're fighting the lack of nutrients in the soil. I mean, I know because I'm spending a lot of time trying to improve my pastures mm-hmm. just to grow grass.
Yeah, yeah. What would you like to talk about to close? Anything in particular?
Well, I'd like to remind everybody that we are open year-round. Christmas Day happens to be on a Wednesday this year, so we're mm-hmm. definitely not going to be open on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's true. It's bad timing.
And so we'll be back on January the 4th, after the holiday, will be open again.
So your winter hours, again, are Wednesday and Saturday mm-hmm. from 10 to 3. Uh-huh. And over the holidays, you're going to be closed for Christmas, which falls on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. And the Saturday after Christmas will be closed, and New Year's Day will be closed and open again on January 4th.
So only for those particular days do you have to worry about going without. But hopefully you stocked up by that point.
Well, and also, you know, they can find my phone number on the website. And my chickens don't know it's Christmas. So they'll be still laying eggs.
Right.
And I'll probably be down at the market and I can open up the fridges and the freezers if somebody desperately needs anything.
Oh, that's so good of you. And are there any particular special products? I mean, you've got people that make jams and jellies mm-hmm. and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Christmas-type products coming in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there'll be a couple of people that are going to be making gift baskets.
Oh, good.
So, you know, if you wonder what to buy somebody for Christmas, I tell you, people really love food.
Yes. Especially wrong with food.
Especially people that are retired and trying to get rid of stuff, you know, it's mm-hmm. always good to buy them something they can eat.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the new building will be happening
really soon, and we're hoping to be in by spring.
In by spring. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, they can find you at Brookings Harbor Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. So in conclusion, I guess we just need to say buy local. It's so important for mm-hmm. your health, for fighting climate change.
And it's good to support the local economy.
And the local economy, absolutely. Mm-hmm. These mm-hmm. are our neighbors that are making yes. their living this way. Yeah.
If you spend money at the market, chances are those people are going to spend it locally too.
So that's right.
It just keeps on going around.
Keep it going around. Well, Linda, it's been really great chatting with you. It's Linda Stimson, the Brooking Harbor Farmers Market. And I want to thank you for being here. It's been really interesting. I'm so glad we finally did this. And I wanted to thank Pi White for technical support, my co-producer. This has been Lee Tooley for Reality Check on KCIW. Thank you for listening.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.